there's this thing that bothered me that my boss said. Apparently, he listens to podcasts, but he calls the individual episodes casts. He's like, oh, they're only like 15 to 20 minute casts. I'm like, no, that's wrong.
No, that's, yeah.
That can't be correct.
They're called episodes.
Yeah.
Like, legitimately. The website, it's like, what, when I upload these, it's like, what episode is this?
Yeah.
And I say, this episode.
And so.
That's really annoying.
It just made me like him even less.
Nice. You know?
But anyway, I missed you, man. I'm really excited for this episode.
I'm also really excited for this episode.
I just wanted to talk to people about this.
I just want to.
And there's no one. It's just you.
I just want to talk to somebody else at all.
What do we do here, Nathan?
Whoa. Welcome back, everybody, to the Trade Waiters podcast.
Oh yeah,
that's the podcast where we read a different comic book trade every single week and we talk about it. My name is Nathan.
I'm Daniel,
and we read books all the time, don't mm-hmm. we?
Yeah. How do we know each other? We're brothers. That's how.
Yeah, we're also brothers, and we read them together.
Right next to each other, we share the book.
Yes, absolutely.
Nathan turns the page, I just hold it.
I read it to you like a kindergarten child, actually. Like, I read what's on the page, and I flip the book around, and I'm
That'd make
I
me so you. Fucking mad. Like, you read a page turn reveal, and then I have to wait till the two pages is done, and I'm like, oh!
And I'm like, oh my god, it's doomsday! And then I turn the page around.
The worst.
Yeah, page turns would be really bad in comics.
So what actually happens is that I lay in between your legs and you hold it and then read it to me.
Yeah, that's what we found to be the optimal way to to read books. Yeah,
exactly.
Before we get started, I just want to say up top that I've started putting in time codes for everything. So if you want to just jump to the news, or you don't care about the news and you want to just go to the book, say maybe you've found an older episode and the news is just not news anymore, it's olds, then you could just go straight to the book.
Or if you want to skip the
book and just listen to us talk about bullshit, then you can do that too. So
or like you want to skip like the WandaVision recaps,
or if
like
you
that.
Only want to listen to Back Matter for some reason, you can do that too.
If you only want to listen to our email addresses,
I don't post that part.
Plugs.
So yeah, if you want to jump around, feel free to do that. That's perfectly acceptable. But the first time code on there should be the news, which we'll get into right now.
There's apparently a Superman reboot in the works with J.J. Abrams producing and Ta-Nehisi Coates writing.
That's very exciting. He's a good writer.
He's excellent. It's awesome for a comic book writer who came up as a comic book writer, I think.
No, he's a normal writer.
Writer of what? Like books?
Without pictures, yeah.
Okay. But like still.
But like,
and then go to movies?
Yeah.
That's dope.
Yeah, I think he definitely wouldn't have gotten this if he wasn't a writer of comic books and proved himself multiple times to be a great writer of Black Panther and Captain America,
right?
And like a really good run on Captain America too.
Mm-hmm,
supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't read it yet, but I've heard good things. So
it looked real good.
Super cool. So I'm assuming that's either, do you think it's like an Elseworld thing, or like, we don't really know. Henry Cavill seems like he's under the impression that he's not coming back for Superman. But it's not officially confirmed at all. It seems like this is going to be some sort of reboot, potentially with a black Superman.
If there's like
cool.
three Batmans, I'm sure two Supermans is okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Apparently there's a Batman versus Fortnite comic. Do we know about this?
I know so much about this, Daniel.
I saw it because Mikael Janin does like all the covers.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I follow him and I saw him post it. I'm like, that looks really good.
Yeah, so it's called Batman/Fortnite:0 points. And so this is a crossover between DC Comics and Fortnite world. And I think Batman's going into the Fortnite universe, but in comic form. But
that makes most sense.
It's unique because it's going to be a 6-issue limited series scripted by Christos Gage, who's done like some Spider-Man stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's based on a concept in story consultation from Epic's like chief creative officer. His name is Donald Mustard.
That's a good name.
That is a good name. And so like it's pulling from some of the top like Fortnite creative talent, I guess. But it's going to feature art from a couple different people that I don't really recognize. Riley Brown, Christian Deuce, Nelson DeCastro and stuff. But what's cool about it is each issue of Batman/Fortnite will be released in print and digital formats, but Fortnite fans will have a special incentive to buy the print version because each print issue will have
a DLC code
that you can use in game.
Okay.
Which
is it related to this? Like, is it Batman?
It's going
to
be like a Batman skin or dope. Like, I guess the first one's going to be a DC Rebirth Harley Quinn costume.
Cool.
Yeah. That's and then sick. Collecting all six codes will allow players to unlock an exclusive armored Batman Zero skin. So you can finally be nice. Batman again in Fortnite. So yeah, they're getting really creative with it.
Yeah. Okay.
DC has been really good about
marketing,
being really creative with marketing.
Yeah.
Like there's some stuff obviously doesn't hit all the time. Like the Walmart stuff. Remember that?
No, that was sick.
It was cool, but I could never find it.
Like, I didn't go to Walmart.
Well, I would look for it if I was at Walmart, but it wasn't like at every Walmart, so it was like super hard to find. But
yeah, there was like potential for that. It probably sold a ton just from like being at every other Walmart.
I heard that it did well. It's just a little hard to like find it because that for a while that was the only place that Brian Michael Bendis and Nick Darrington Batman story was at, or the Tom King and Adam Kubert. Or Andy Kubert, or one of the Kubert Superman story was.
I think it's Andy.
There's like a Greg Capullo like Swamp Thing that he did.
Oh, but then they ended up printing those in
correct
for comic stores, right?
But that wasn't going to be the case initially. So,
that's awesome though.
Yeah, so pretty cool.
You remember how we talked about NFTs in like the last episode?
Yeah, it's really bad, isn't it?
What do you mean, like the idea?
What were you gonna say?
Apparently, like they're gonna be used in like the music industry. For like royalties as far as like songs and stuff like that.
Yeah, they're gonna be using like a bunch of different ways, I found out.
Like Drake can like release a song like and only have like people buy like the NFT, I guess like 15 NFTs or something. And so like
neat.
Either he can own it all so that he gets all the royalties or whatever, so that there doesn't have to be like any kind of music label or anything like that.
Oh, interesting.
So
well, I heard there's gonna be like Top Knot or the whoever the like card making company is that makes like collectible cards are going to be doing NFTs for like collectible like basketball cards, and they're going to be like video moments in history of like famous like basketball things that have happened.
Okay.
Yeah, just things like that. So I've heard like I've learned a lot about it recently. I've also heard that it's really bad for the environment, which sounds weird to hear, but I read this like really in-depth article about this guy that was an artist and started selling on with his like crypto art for like the first time. And so he held like this big old show for crypto art, I guess, and had like six different transactions for crypto art that went to different people that sold out in 10 seconds. And I guess with all the blockchain technology and everything that goes into creating like crypto art and selling crypto, it's like a ridiculous amount of energy consumption. And so he went on saying like, he had made like a conscious effort before knowing about this that like to lessen his, what is it called? The footprint?
Carbon footprint.
Yeah. His carbon footprint. And so like he was limiting like his electricity use in like his studio and everything.
Huh.
But the big part of the article was, he says, it turns out my release of six crypto artworks consumed in 10 seconds more electricity than the entire studio that he works in over the past 2 years.
Huh.
So in 10 seconds, it's 2 years worth of electricity for a studio.
Okay, gotcha. To sell that.
So I guess it's like really, really bad for the environment right now.
I guess when it comes to like high profile stuff like that, that has a lot of demand, that like goes like that fast.
Apparently it's that way for cryptocurrencies and stuff too.
Huh.
And like it's really weird and I don't completely understand it, but I've seen like a bunch of people be like, at least artists like Christian Ward, who was thinking about doing crypto art and then learned about the consequences of it, has like kind of stepped away from it and doesn't want to do it anymore.
Okay.
I don't know enough about it. I actually don't even have the name of the article. Actually, I can go to the website from the screenshot. But yeah, it's super interesting. I guess if you're thinking about doing it, it's called The Problem of Crypto Art by Joni LeMercier.
Is like a blogspot or something?
I think so.
Okay.
It's from this dude's website.
Huh.
And that was one that was kind of circling around. So very interesting. But yeah, apparently there's, in like the next couple of months, there's going to be a way to do it that's like 99% less of like a waste. He said that there's something like that coming. So hopefully it'll be okay pretty soon. But right now it's like really bad.
Yeah, I feel like every new thing has to go through some like troubleshooting
yeah.
In order for it to work. But
yeah,
we'll see, I guess.
Do you like Tom King, Daniel?
Love him.
Do you know he announced a new book?
Yes.
It's called on my list. Supergirl Woman of Tomorrow. And it's a Infinite Frontier limited 8-issue series with Bilquis Evely.
Yes.
And they're doing a Supergirl series.
Pretty exciting.
Yep. It's about courage and loss, vengeance and mercy, and it's very much the tradition of Superman up in the sky. And it's just a good person traveling a hard road, is what he said. So hopefully very similar to the work that he did in Superman Up in the Sky, which we should totally read at some point because I heard it's really good.
I have, like, every other issue. It's very hard to find if you, like, weren't getting it week to week.
Well, they have it, like, collected in trade, so...
Oh,
which is what we do here.
That, too. The trade waiters.
Yeah, that's what we do.
Apparently, the director of Godzilla vs. King Kong said that there will be a definite winner by the end of the movie.
Yes!
Absolutely.
100%.
I thought that was very important, and I thought they were going to leave it up to, like, the viewer or whatever and be basically a draw. But nope, definite winner.
I thought it was going to be a good old fight, and then there's like a third bad guy, like a Mecha Godzilla or something.
Maybe.
And then they would have to fight him.
I'd be so excited if that happened.
It would make no sense, but it would be awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the movies don't make sense.
That's what those are about.
Yeah, not making sense.
Yeah, yeah. Did you hear, or Nathan, do you know?
Yes.
About the superhero Static Shock?
Yes.
Do you know the superhero Icon?
Yes.
Do you know the superhero Rocket?
Yes.
Not the raccoon?
Yes.
Okay, I didn't. Do you know the superhero Hardware?
I didn't until I heard about this news you're about to say.
They're all getting new series.
Yes, they are.
Very exciting. I didn't know anybody that was in it, but that's cool.
Icon?
No. I know Icon and Static Shock.
Hardware is... They're all deep cuts.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Let's say.
But maybe I didn't know any of the the creators on it. There's no names that I'm familiar with. I don't really...
It's probably a good thing.
I don't read a lot, honestly. Like, I'm hardly qualified to be here.
You read a trade a week.
Exactly.
That's a lot of reading compared to most people.
It feels like a ton.
It is a lot.
But then you're like, okay, 6 issues, good for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, new series. I think that's part of the Infinite Frontier thing that's going on.
What is that? Is that just an imprint?
It's not an imprint. It's like a thing that DC's doing. They had issue zero come out this week, which I picked up, but I haven't read yet. So I'm interested in what that's going to be. Because it seems like it's going to be somewhat of a push for DC, at least in the next couple months.
I think it's important for them to have, series from these characters that don't really get a lot.
Yeah.
Just regularly. And then, new series to start up in general.
Yeah.
Just because... Most stuff that comes out is like number 14 or something. I'm like, oh, I don't know how to start that. You know, it's just kind of fun to just go into a shop and pick up a number one just because it looks cool.
Yeah, I picked up a lot of number ones this week, actually. I'm very excited about all of them.
Okay, very nice.
Yeah.
I got like 3 things. We got the first look at Jupiter's Legacy, Nathan.
The new comic or the show?
The show from Miller World that is coming out on Netflix in like May or something.
Isn't the dude from Mandalorian gonna be one of the dudes in the show?
Not that I know of.
Who's the dude that was Boba Fett? I'm sorry, not Boba Fett. The guy that played the fake Boba Fett in the first episode of the second season.
What's that dude? Timothy Oliphant?
Yeah, I think isn't he gonna be in that in the show? I'm looking it up.
I don't know. I think it's like the guy that was. I think the guy from Narcos is in it.
What's it called? Jupiter's
Legacy.
Legacy.
Mark Millar posted it on his Twitter.
Oh, Josh Duhamel. Sorry,
just. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's the one. You see the pictures, Nathan? Got some pictures.
Sweet. We haven't read any Mark Millar books.
I know. I was just thinking about that. We should definitely read this in May. He looks so sick.
He does.
I love just seeing just random superheroes with all these like new costumes that I haven't seen.
Seeing
a whole new world.
I like seeing handsome actors.
Look at this detail in the costume that like isn't even necessary. That they totally could have just skipped out on, but they added.
Like, especially with this dude on the right.
Dude, look at his bulge. He looks like he has a sideways vagina.
Dude, I like it when very handsome actors wear all white hair and facial hair.
Yeah.
Such as Henry Cavill in The Witcher.
Yeah, they look very sexy, but like they're in the future.
It's like, but they're wise now.
There's
this comes out in May?
Yeah, May 7th, I think.
That's pretty close.
Scroll down some more. There's another picture. Yeah, that's a character, I guess.
I would think so.
It's just some girl. There were more pictures that were posted.
Okay, I'll have to look at it later.
Anyway, pretty cool, pretty exciting. So we should definitely read that in May.
Yeah, or this before is the first that we're seeing of the Netflix's acquisition of Miller World.
Yeah, I know. That feel like I would have stuff for this already.
I felt like they did that like 2 years ago. Yeah, 2 or 3 years ago, maybe.
I feel
maybe
like we were longer. Really excited about it.
Yeah.
Did we have this podcast when they announced that?
Definitely not.
Okay. It feels like we've only ever done this.
Yeah, I know. I don't even know what we did.
This is the only constant in my life.
Yeah.
And then, have you heard of the comic Shadecraft, Nathan?
No.
Sounds
boring.
You know the artist Lee Garbett? He did, what's that one where everyone starts flying? There's no gravity on Earth?
Skyward?
Skyward. He did the art for Skyward. He's also doing the art for Shadecraft.
Okay. What's it about?
I don't know. There it is. There's the news.
Shadecraft.
Netflix picked it up. Joe Henderson's a writer.
Okay, cool.
So that might mean that it's good. Image Comics looks like.
Joe Henderson did Skyward too, didn't he?
That sounds right.
That's cool.
And I think Skyward got picked up like a year ago when it like came out. So.
Yeah, I think it got picked up for a show deal, but I don't know, dude. This stupid pandemic just throws everything around. I don't know. I don't know how all that shit works, but it feels like it'll be forever before stuff like that comes out. But hopefully it does get made pretty soon because I'd love to see it.
You remember that dude who was the bad guy in Jessica Jones? He played like Kilgrave?
David Tennant.
Yeah, he does this like YouTube show with another guy who is also
Jessica Jones.
Good Omens. No, he's in Good Omens. He plays like the angel in Good Omens.
The other main character?
Yeah.
Okay.
So they have this like YouTube show because they're planning on having like a Broadway like production or something, like a play.
He seems like he would do that, yeah.
And they were planning on doing it and then the pandemic hit. And so they have this YouTube show where they're just like planning out like the whole play for when the pandemic stops.
The show started because of the pandemic?
Yeah. So the YouTube show. That it was just
depressing.
It was just some dude's idea. And so they just like yell at each other on a Zoom call about like how to put this play together.
Nice.
And that's how shows should be coming together, Nathan.
Yeah. True.
True.
I don't know how all of it works, but
I don't know. You're working remote. I'm working remote. I'm sure there's ways.
Things get done. Hopefully. Anyway, I hope more comic things get made.
I agree.
This is all I'm saying. That's my hot take.
I don't know. Stuff keeps coming out.
Shows, mainly.
Nah, it's a movie. That one I told you about where they went camping and their daughter has been missing the whole time.
Yeah.
That came out.
But not like big movies. Cool.
But anyway, do you have any more news? I just ran through everything.
No more news, I don't think.
Okay. You want to double check?
I've just double checked.
Yeah. Okay, so we're good.
So no more news.
All right, Nathan, what book did we read this week?
Yeah, we read a book called I Hate Fairyland, which is a book by Scotty Young and his colorist, Jean-Francois Ballou, I think.
His name is a color.
Ballou. That's why he's the colorist. And then lettered by Nate Picos. And
so, Nathan,
this is an Eisner Award-winning series.
How did you feel about this, and why did you love it?
I loved it because it's perfect.
It's so good.
It's like, it's so, such a wildly entertaining read.
Absolutely. I could read this entire thing in a day. Like the entire series in a day.
It's probably fun. There's like so many good gags. There's like so many incredible like designs, like genuinely good cartooning in this.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then very, very intuitive like violence and just, yeah, flipping the whole
the genre violence upside down. Is shocking. It's insane.
Yeah.
And like it's lovely.
Yeah.
How gory this is. And it like
there's such
it's
like,
so colorful, which is like an excellent job because you think I'm like, oh, is this like a kid's book kind of thing? But no, it is not for kids. Do not give this to a kid.
You could if you want.
You could if you want, if they're the right kid.
Give it to a kid that's like, I want something like more intense, you know? Like they're just like getting to like that age where they're like 10 and they can like handle a little bit of gore.
Yeah, yeah.
Like maybe leave it on a bookshelf that's like just high enough for them to reach so that they can like actually grab it when they don't want you to grab
like a chair or something.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I would say this book
is. I didn't even think about that. I have like Kill or Be Killed on like my bottom shelf.
If there was a kid in here, it could steal it.
Yeah.
And yeah, his whole site could be ruined. But yeah, this book is like I'm
so mad at myself because I've seen this on the shelves like when it was coming out.
Yeah.
And I'm mad that I didn't even like give it a chance, like pick it up.
I didn't either.
I was so afraid of new things.
We both made the same mistake.
We were both very dumb.
This book is the, like, pinnacle of just awesome juxtaposition, which I looked up that word. And
yeah, that's one word.
Yeah.
I thought you said juxtaposition.
No, juxtaposition. There's, like, an X in there. It's crazy. But it's like when there's a theme of, like, one thing and then the complete opposite, and they, like, those two elements are, like, together.
Okay.
So in this case, the world that this girl's in is fairyland, and it's very happy and fantasy and wonderful. And then the main character is just killing everything inside of it and hates being there. And it creates like such a fun environment to read.
Yeah.
And like, I don't even know who I'm rooting for really, like, this whole book. Cause yeah. She's like an asshole and like really ruining like this place. That
the protagonist isn't like great.
Yeah. But it's supposed to be that way. Like, I'm kind of rooting for her to just like fuck everything up, because they've essentially like held her hostage there, but at the same time, like, she's not finding whatever she needs to find in order to get out,
right?
Which should have taken about a day, but she's been there for 27 years, and yeah. So like, no one's like really like a good guy, I don't think, but it's just it's really fun to read, like, either way.
Absolutely.
So
this is a wild ride.
This is a gotta have it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Based right off of the Cold Stone scale,
gotta have it. With, like, an extra scoop.
Yeah,
like,
gotta have it.
You slip them a nice tip, and they give you an extra scoop.
Yeah, gotta have it with, like, extra M&Ms and gummy bears and stuff.
Like, far too many toppings.
Yeah, as many toppings as you can get, because this is a colorful book. Only, like, the colorful toppings.
Like, you dip the ice cream in the sprinkles container.
Yeah.
And then see what comes out.
Yeah, this is a gotta have it with a bunch of sprinkles, just caked on top.
Sprinkles, gummy bears, all the colorful things.
Exactly.
And it's delicious.
Mm-hmm. So, definitely pick this up. It's a really smooth and fun read. And just like a really fun idea, I think. Like,
there's this makes me want to read like everything Scotty Young has done.
He's really good.
I feel like there's not a ton of stuff where he's writing, but
he's doing more writing stuff now. He's written like some Deadpool that like one of my best friends really likes.
Oh yeah,
he did an Image book where he wasn't drawing.
What was that, like Middle Earth or something?
Middle Earth, yeah.
No, Middle West.
Middle West. Sorry, that one's really good.
Middle Earth is like Lord of the Rings.
I fell off of Middle West because I wasn't sure if I had picked up the issue before or not, and then I was like, maybe I'll go home and look, and then I forgot about it.
You gotta get that scanning app. It saved my life.
I do.
And then it made me spend like $100 the next day because I realized how much I was missing.
It's fine. Don't even worry about it. So we'll jump right into the book. So issue one, we're introduced to Gertrude, which is the character's name, which is a really funny name.
It kind of fits.
It really does. She's a little girl who wishes to be taken away to a world of wonder, magic, and even more. And straight away, we see her wish get granted. Like, on the first page, she's just, like, chilling in her room. She's like, I wish I could go to some world. And then she gets, like, sucked into a hole in the ground that drops her into fairyland, which is a fantasy land with, like, all sorts of fun creatures and happiness and stuff.
Yeah, I hate a build-up. Just get straight into
it. Yeah, I know. That's what I was about to say. Like, we're just straight to the point. Like, this is what's happening. We don't really understand everything, which I feel like is good, too, because I assume he probably builds on, like, why she was chosen to be in Fairyland or
potentially
something.
Potentially.
Yeah, so
this place looks like a Candyland board.
It really does.
That's, like, the only thing I could think of.
It's, like, Candyland just,
with, like some
imagined
monsters that are very colorful.
Yeah. It's very cute. Like, literally, like, every single character is designed uniquely, and they're all so good.
Yeah.
Like, he's so good at just, like, coming... Like, Scotty's so good at just coming up with stuff just right off the bat.
Like, and, why, like, is this pig guy dressed so well?
He's dressed so well.
I don't know.
Or, like, this dude that has three eyes, and he's, like, a little... He looks like a really tall Mike Wazowski with three eyes.
Oh, yeah.
And he looks great. But Fairyland is ruled by Queen Claudia... Because she has clouds on her head.
Yeah, and she wears like blue and stuff.
Yeah, and she kind of explains to Gertrude, who just showed up there, that the way to get back home is that she needs to find a magical key somewhere within Fairyland, which normally takes about a day-ish. And then she's introduced to her guide named Larrigan, who has a map, and then they're just kind of off on their way.
Larrigan's like a flea or something?
Yeah, and you kind of immediately get a sense that this book is... that she's doesn't really fit in here, because as soon as she like lands in Fairyland, she like lands on her face and she has like a broken bone
and like a black eye
and like a so she's like hurting already. She doesn't have like a good introduction of this place.
Yeah, she like fell from the sky. I feel like there should be a better entrance, but
yeah I'm not sure how it normally is supposed to go. Like, do they just have every kid fall 100 feet from the sky?
I suppose.
But yeah, Queen Claudia is pretty thick,
dude. I love how he draws her tits in this.
Yes,
they're just like boobies. These like semicircles that are above like her dress at all times,
and she's got like a hella long neck. Like her designs look really good too. I like her hair.
She definitely looks like she'd be in like a Dr. Seuss kind of thing.
Yeah, I would agree. So then that was 27 years ago when that happened, because Gertrude cannot find the key that she so desperately wants to find. She's still in like her child form, but now she's like a lot crazier.
She's like 27 years old, like on the inside. Like she.
Yeah, plus whatever. She's 27 years older, but still younger.
Oh, yeah. So like.
But still.
34.
But still as old as when. Or physically still as old as when she first went in there. And then Larrigan, the guide, nicknamed Larry, he's clearly tired and just unmotivated at this point of helping her.
He's picked up smoking.
His eyes look extremely tired all the time. He's like a little flea or something with like a top hat. He was pretty cute at first. Actually, not really. He was kind of ugly at first. But now he's even more ugly and he's picked up smoking, which I think is a really funny like character design.
There's like a storytelling device that he uses in this that I think is excellent. Where like characters around her like narrate. And she can just hear the narration.
Yeah.
And she is like super pissed.
And so this first one is the moon is narrating. Like the moon is personified. It has like a face on it. And she gets into a fight with the moon, who was narrating this all to like the reader. But Gertrude can hear him and she gets pissed at him. So she uses the cannon on this boat that they were on to blow the moon's brains out and like kills the moon. And it is like extremely gory.
You see a brain, an eyeball flying out,
a little
here.
Heart. I don't know where
half the face is blown away.
I don't know where all these organs are sort of situated within the moon, but
that's where his stomach is.
It's all out now.
He's got ribs apparently.
Yeah, I guess so. He's got bones and stuff, and like it's just it's brutal. And it kind of just tells the reader like this probably isn't what you think it is,
right? That like this definitely wasn't represented by the cover.
It kind of sets the stage. Well, actually the cover, you can kind of get that sense too, because she's like holding an axe and is bloody and stuff.
But still.
But now you really get like the sense of like, oh, it's this kind of story.
There's this thing that they do. I guess you can't curse in Fairyland.
Yes.
So it's all like censored in a way where like she's trying to say like motherfucking, but it comes out as like muffin hugging.
Yeah. Or fluff. Yeah. And like the lettering, I think, is a really distinct identity of this book, because it's like, it's non-traditional in the sense that there's like a lot of bolded words. And then when her curses are censored, that censored word is a lot bigger compared to like all the other letters,
right?
And it's like colored, and so it's just like it's really fun. So like you know what's supposed to be a curse word and like you didn't like read it wrong. Mm-hmm. So I think it works really well in this sense. So anyway, she kills the moon,
and then she gets like a minigun or something and just like blows away like all these little stars.
Yeah, she doesn't want them to be witnessed, so she starts like killing them too, like very bloody. Like some of them are getting like torn in half from these bullets.
They fall out of the sky. Faces. Yeah,
yeah. And so they start falling out of the sky and they become like shooting stars, because it's just stars dying and falling down.
Yeah, it's funny.
And so one of them falls to the ground in front of Queen Claudia. And before it dies, it tells Claudia that it was like her that did it. And Claudia already knows. She's clearly at this point pretty fed up with Gertrude and even wants to go as far as killing her after all this time. But there's a rule on Fairyland preventing the guests of Fairyland from being harmed by the queen. So Gertrude has this like protection spell on her, at least protecting her from the queen. So as a result, she hires a Fairyland hitman named Brood the Brutal. And so
great name.
Yeah, all the names are pretty awesome in this, actually.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, she calls him up, and he's kind of on the job now. But so Gertrude is causing some trouble in Lost Fungus. So throughout this whole book, she's still trying to find the key. She hasn't, like, given up on that. But she's still being, like, pointed to, like, all sorts of different places within Fairyland. But, yeah, so Gertrude is now in a place called Lost Fungus, which is Las Vegas, but it's mushrooms as, like, buildings and stuff. And so she stole from the casino, and then she gets caught by some of the guards that were there, and she gets brought to a slug lord to decide her fate. But Gertrude, like, listens to this riddle that he has, and she's, like, kind of fed up with it, so she starts to choke him out. Then it turns pretty quickly into her eating cops with, like, her hands, and, like, ripping chunks of them out and eating them alive.
The cops are, like, little mushrooms.
Yeah.
I think it's important to point that out.
Yeah, they are little mushrooms, and as she's eating them, she's, like, becoming high. At the same time, like high on shrooms.
Like this book's like already pretty trippy as it is, but like having her also on shrooms, like, definitely adds
pretty
to
ridiculous
it.
So she ends up escaping, and then her and Larry then go to Ice Cream Land to find out what their next move is, and then they're met by Brood the Brutal.
I just want to come back. So there's more of the mushrooms coming, and they're called the Shroom Patrol.
Oh, that's what they are. Yep.
I thought that was really funny. You get that, like, the pun
Doom
there.
Patrol?
Doom Patrol, Shroom Patrol.
Oh, interesting.
Very
interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, there's a lot of, like, really, like, great designs that are never recycled. Like, there's so many, like, creative ideas in here for, like, characters and just places and things that are just, like, quick little ideas that he, like, throws down on the page. And then they, like, you never come back to them, which is, like, crazy to me because all these are, like, really cool and they seem, like, really fleshed out. But just the fact that, like, it's only used once for, like, very small scenes is, like, crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how much, like, just raw talent I feel like Scotty Young has. And it really, like, shows in this book.
Absolutely.
I also like that whenever you see, like, a sun or a moon, like, there's a crescent moon in, like, this last page that has, like, a face on it. All of those, like, have faces on them, too.
Sorry, say that again?
Like, the moon or the sun will have, like, faces on them. Like, we saw a moon that got killed before, but now there's, like, the crescent moon because it's like that same moon that got killed before.
Oh.
Yeah. So very good. Pretty good. Yeah. At one point in Lost Fungus, she gets like electrocuted by the Shroom Patrol. And a funny thing to me is when she gets electrocuted, does a thing where it like shows your skeleton or whatever. She has like little bones in her hair. I don't know if you noticed.
I did not.
But it's that panel.
Oh yeah. That's like something that's used in like cartoons all the time.
Yeah, it's just pretty cute.
Like someone's got like a hat or something, there's like a bone in there.
Yeah.
Or like tall hair.
Also, I like the design of this Brood the Brutal hunter guy.
Oh yeah, dude, all the designs of like the scary people are so cool because they just have huge skulls as like a belt buckle and
super,
like knee pads.
Super exaggerated. This guy has 9 different swords on his back.
An axe.
And he's carrying a battle axe and whatever, a morning star. Is that what it's called?
The ball and chain thing?
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was like a, you know, I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
Because so there's also that thing that like Hawk Girl has that's like a stick with the ball on it.
I think that's called a morning star.
Maybe.
Anyway. Yeah. Also, Scotty Young draws nipples very interesting.
Super interesting. Yeah, they're very pointy. They look like...
extremely pointy.
They look like little pacifiers. Or like the tip of a bottle.
That's disgusting. So, yeah, that was the end of issue one, so we'll go into issue two. But overall, that's a banger first issue, right?
Absolutely.
It's just... it shows you like how crazy things are getting. Like
that sells you on the series. Like you just read through
very
it
very simple concept that's executed extremely well. So one of the best first issues, I would say. But anyway, issue two. So this one opens up with a new narrator, which is a mouse trying to tell the reader the story of Gertrude, up until Gertrude ends up smashing him to bits with a mug. And so she's drunk at a bar with Brood the Brutal's head and like talking to it about how much she hates Fairyland. So she's pretty clearly killed Brood the Brutal, who's supposed to be like a hitman that was supposed to, you know, take care of her. Now she's chopped off his head and took it to a bar and then gotten drunk and is now talking to it.
I really wish, like, that we would have seen that fight scene. And they do this, he does this, like, a couple times where, like, it'll end on this cliffhanger. And it's like, oh, how is she going to get out of this? And then it starts on the next issue, oh, she got out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think get that just to kind of cut some of the fat in order to make, like, whatever size trade you want.
Yeah.
And I think, like, the action that was in it was really good, but I guess it's just me wanting more, see what the Brutal fight was like and whatnot.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think in this case, like in this scenario, like the first one, it's pretty funny because it's like very casual, like, oh, I guess she killed him.
Like, yeah, it's like wow, it was not a problem.
Not a big deal for her. But I do agree with you that like in later fights, there's other things that she comes across and it would be cool to see like some sort of fight scene against like a pretty crazy character.
Yeah, just... not even like the action would be interesting, just like the brutality of it.
Exactly. Yeah, because he draws like a lot of gore very well, I would say. So she's drunk at a bar with this head, and there's a bit where she like wishes to look normal, like her normal like 30-year-old self, which gets granted because of some beer that she was drinking. It's basically just like a bit because she looks horrifying as like her normal self because living in Fairyland all this time made her extremely fat. Because, like, the only thing they eat is just, like, a bunch of sugar-related stuff.
Yeah, and she gets, like, diabetes, she's like everywhere.
She's, like, horrifyingly, like, large and fat.
Uh-huh.
No, she's very clearly meant to look like just a beast, like, unrealistically awful.
Yeah.
It's just, like, a pretty funny bit. Like, I think he does that stuff really well.
Looks like someone in, like, My 600-Pound Life.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, four of them put together in one person.
Right.
So, anyway, Claudia hears that Brood was killed. And so she pulls out the even bigger guns and hires a witch to kill Gertrude. And this witch then goes to a place that Gertrude was, like, on her way to and starts creating, like, a zombie apocalypse. So that's, like, kind of planting the seed for this issue. But meanwhile, Gertrude mishears some directions from, like, the last person trying to guide her to the key. And she ends up slaying the tickle trolls instead of paying the fickle toll. Because she, like, mishears the person. So it's, like, a gag that she just killed, like, all these, like, indigenous, like, trolls or giants. Just
there's, like, gaping holes in all of them.
Yeah, it's, like, a sweet, like, double-page spread of just them all dead and, like, over mountains. And even the sun is, like, cowering behind, like, a mountain.
Yeah.
And, yeah, very, very good.
What are those things called that she, the witch started the apocalypse with? Like, it's, like, a little dude with horns, and he's got, like, the weird feet. Like James McAvoy was it in Narnia or whatever? That's like a there's
that's
like
not
a,
him in, that's not James McAvoy.
Do you want to make another bet?
In Narnia?
Is it Narnia? I think it's Narnia. Yeah,
it's definitely not Narnia.
You know how like they meet that person that looks like this?
Yeah,
that's James McAvoy.
No, it's not.
I'll bet you $20 on the pod.
$10 on the pod right now.
All right, shake Narnia. James right. McAvoy. Google it. Shit pulled up right here. Look, his name's already popping up. Go to images. Boom, bitch.
No, there's a... Oh, this guy.
Yeah, that guy.
I was thinking of somebody else.
What do you mean?
The other guy.
What other guy?
He's got a brother.
He's got a brother?
Yes.
In this.
That's James McAvoy?
Yeah, see him?
Dude, who am I thinking of then? There's a... Maybe I was thinking of like one of the spoof movies.
Epic movie?
Maybe.
What's his character?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. I'm thinking of...
We might as well go on this tangent.
No, there's another dude that looks similar, and he's like, the actor himself looks like he would have been on like a Nickelodeon show or some shit.
I don't know.
But anyway, what is this creature called again?
I don't know. Oh, Mr. Tumnus. Maybe Google what is Mr. Tumnus.
Fawn?
A male fawn.
Okay. Well, that makes more sense because Gertrude ends up going to a place called Fawn Valley. Which is where
I guess we could have put that together.
Okay. I had no idea what a fawn was.
Neither did I.
But now the witch goes to Fawn Valley before Gertrude gets there and turns all the fawns into zombies. Well,
yeah, with like a poisoned apple or something.
It was a brain, but
it looked like an apple.
Oh, it looked like an apple at first, and they took a bite into it. Ends up being a brain, and now he's a zombie. Doesn't matter. There's a bunch of zombies there now.
Little details.
Yeah. So Gertrude goes to Fawn Valley because she hears that there's some pretty good margaritas there. But when she goes to the bar where they're supposed to be, it's called Horn and Hoof. There's just a bunch of zombies in there. So this is where we see some action, though. She like is chopping them all up and slicing them up and stuff with her battle axe.
It's cool that Larry just summons her battle axe, like her weapons. Like,
yeah.
He just poof.
Yeah. Larry's a very good companion. He holds like a bunch of shit in his hat, too. But
yeah.
One of the things that is like my favorite, like trope I guess in comics is when the lettering is a result of like the actual like environment.
Yeah,
so like when like a lightning bolt goes and it says Krakathoom, but like that's like it's supposed to be like the lightning bolt.
Uh-huh.
Some of my favorite shit.
Yeah,
and super here creative. Gertrude is chopping up all these zombies.
Fun.
It's very bloody, but you see like chop in blood or slice in blood or things like that.
Splat.
Some example
of that I remember is like Jorge Forns like did like a Flash issue, and then like as the Flash is running, like his like the running waves behind him
was like whoosh or something.
Like Flash.
Oh, Flash, yeah.
And then we entered another room, it was like Flash backwards, he was like schlaff or whatever.
Shelf.
Yeah, that's it.
That's funny. So she kills all the people in this bar, and then she goes outside to like I guess leave this place, and she ends up seeing that there's like the full town is just infested with like all these zombies.
There's thousands,
like
easily
the whole town, easily not enough for her to take on her own, right?
Yeah, she's done for.
Yeah, easily. So issue three, she's killed all the zombies.
Yeah, she's got them all.
The narrator opens up the story again, but Gertrude kills him, mistaking him for a zombie. So we get, what, three panels before he's dead, if that? But yeah, so she's killed all the zombies. And killed him with her battle axe. And since they are undead, they want to make sure that they stay that way. So Larry, like, pulls out a dragon from his, like, magical hat. And they just
burns
use,
all of them.
Yeah, they use the dragon to burn the whole, all of the remains, I guess.
It's a cool looking dragon.
Yeah, very cool.
It's very Scotty Young-esque.
Yeah, he's got a very, like, distinct style. Like, I think I could really point out some of his work. If it was, like, a character I'd never seen, I think I could probably tell that it was him.
Yeah.
Which is, like, really hard to do.
There's not a lot of artists that, like, have, like, their accent on, like, things. And I think because, like, his independent stuff is so useful, that's why they turn out as, like, such cool covers and whatnot.
Yeah.
And even, like, some interiors of, like, Marvel stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good. Meanwhile, Claudia's pretty pissed again that Gertrude is still alive. So she leaves to meet the highest level of people at Fairyland, which is the Council of Elders. She has to go to them through this dude named Bark, who is...
He's a tree.
He's an ancient tree.
Big tree.
I really love these trees. Like, each tree has, like, a different individual face, and they all look really good.
They got, like, different thicknesses, different girths of trunks.
Some eyes are bigger, some eyes are smaller. This Bark guy, spelled B-A-R-Q-U-E, which is a great name.
Yeah, definitely.
He's got a really big mouth.
That'd be a good name for, like, a dog.
Bark?
Yeah.
Barkway?
In Barkway?
Yeah. So... Yeah, anyway, the Council of Elders meet in there. I just think that the tree is, like, a really good design.
Absolutely.
I love seeing faces on trees. it's not, like, the most original idea, but
I do like I have that a, Scotty does Do it. I have a movie for you?
What, which one?
They do that in, like, Lord of the Rings. They do that in, you know, Groot.
Groot, yeah. He's a good character.
I think there's some other fantasy thing where there's talking trees. But it's mostly Lord of the Rings. They got that big
They do
dude.
That in witches? Or No, they're just in the trees.
I didn't. Yeah, they're in the trees.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, very good trope. Anyway, so Claudia meets with the Council of Elders.
It's just like another group of people.
Yeah.
That look ridiculous. One guy's an ice cream cone.
Yep, he is. Another guy's like a mushroom.
There's a robot in there.
So Claudia gets in and talks to the council about Gertrude, and they know that they can't hurt her, so they decide to get a new child in and see who will get to the key first. And then the loser becomes a Fairyland citizen and then can be harmed as a result. So since they can't change the rule, they add a new rule, essentially, and then it just becomes like a race.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Gertrude is a citizen again, then they can kill her, is essentially the plan. So then Gertrude's like doing some shit somewhere else. She falls off of a cliff, like a super high cliff that puts her into a coma for very many pages. And there's like a really good bit where Larry is waiting for her to get up, and he even like builds a house. He has a family, and then he gets divorced, and then he burns down his house again before she wakes up.
Yeah, that was good.
It's over like, I don't know, 10 pages maybe. So it's like a really good break in like the story, because it seems like up to this point it was like moving pretty quick. So I really enjoyed this like break that she had.
Sidebar, is this who you're thinking of?
Yes.
Because this is the Fawn that was in Epic Movie. I think it's the dude from like Nacho Libre.
Yep, that's who I'm thinking of.
Sorry.
That's definitely
That's so funny that like those movies had such an impact on like our brains that like we mixed up like actual actors.
Well, James McAvoy doesn't look like James McAvoy. I recognize that
dude. If you look at his face.
Yeah.
With the knowledge that we have now and like knowing James McAvoy well,
I guess, but I had seen that actor because of Nacho Libre.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's why I remember him and got it mixed up. But yeah, I don't really like Narnia.
That's too bad. Neither do I, dude. I fell asleep on the second one, and I saw the first one like once.
A little boring.
Super boring.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'm sure the books are great, but I don't put time into books. That? Yeah, yeah.
Unless they have a comic, then maybe.
Maybe. That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know.
That could work probably better.
I don't know much about Narnia, so I don't know if it would be cool. Anyway, yeah, so Gertrude falls into a coma. But when she wakes up, she's greeted by Happy, who is the new child in Fairyland that is like clearly already doing much better than Gertrude is after being in Fairyland for only a day. So Gertrude gets angry and tries to kill her, but Happy uses some like crazy rainbow powers that she has, and she blasts her away and like kills her again.
But it looks like a Kamehameha wave.
Yeah,
it looks pretty dope. It's like, but like rainbow.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like this Happy's like design is like super good too. Like she has like just the biggest like glittering eyes.
She's got
like
some buck teeth.
So much innocence in this character, and fucks her up with like this rainbow blast. And I think it's so good. I feel like Happy's like the equivalent of like Bubbles in Powerpuff Girls.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I think that's a good comparison.
Dude, I watched that the other day. It holds up.
Does it?
Yeah, it's so sick.
That's cool.
I don't know why it was on. I think like our siblings just put on Cartoon Network, and we were watching like Tom and Jerry before that.
Mm-hmm.
And then apparently there's supposed to be some sort of show, like live action, or maybe a movie.
It's out. Yeah,
it is out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
it's on HBO Max.
Is it?
Yeah.
Weird.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we should. It's
supposed
heard
to be like a
it.
Theater release, but then it got pushed back, and then they're like, "Whatever, we'll just do HBO."
I feel obligated to watch it.
It looks pretty good,
yeah?
Honestly.
Yeah. Damn. Okay. Anyway,
so that was issue four. So we'll go into. No, sorry. We're going into issue four. So the new narrator is Mr. Grubbins, introduces the reader. He's like a slug with the top hat. Looks pretty cute. But this time, he's killed by Larry as Gert is like recovering from this blast from Happy. But she decides to talk to Claudia about this new bitch that's in Fairyland.
I guess there's like some sort of mirror universe.
Yeah, so
you can just jump into a mirror that Larry has, yep. And then...
And then she pulls Claudia through a different mirror as she's getting her hair done. Yeah.
Right.
So, yeah. So they're in this like mirror universe now.
Oh, I just noticed that like the hairdresser for Claudia is like an octopus, and like all over the tentacles are like tattoos.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't notice that.
Like how like a hairdresser like normally does.
Yeah.
That's dope.
So her and Claudia are talking. They're like arguing, actually, I should say. Did you notice that in Claudia's like design, when she gets angry, her hair is like turned into like lightning and stuff?
Yeah, it's like darker clouds and there's like lightning.
Yeah, which happens.
Storm clouds, yeah.
That's like such a cool like character design thing.
Super sick.
Yeah. I got a lot of joy out of that.
It reminds me of like Hades from like Hercules, where like he's blue most of the time, but when he gets mad, he's like all red and like his
oh,
hair
yeah,
is
yeah,
like
yeah.
fire gets all
Yeah,
blasty.
It's exactly that. Yeah. Yeah, so Claudia is basically saying like how much she hates Gertrude and even blasts her with like lightning powers, which don't work on her because of the rule that was established. But
mm-hmm.
Gertrude finds out that if Happy gets the key first, then Gertrude is a citizen of Fairyland and then loses the guest protection spell. So,
and then she also has to stay there, which is like
yeah, and has to stay there forever, which is also a big problem. So there's like a montage sequence where Happy is navigating Fairyland with ease and like even having fun, while Gertrude is going through some of the darker parts of Fairyland and like murdering a bunch to get to what her goal is, to get to one of the guys that's the seven evil dooms to hopefully wield their power and beat Happy. She wants to like get the dark power that exists within Fairyland.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because like the Fairyland is like such a big, I guess, world that there's also like dark parts of Fairyland.
Yeah.
That I feel like is probably going to get explored later on just based off how the book ended.
It'd be sick just to see like a map, like kind of like Candyland board.
Yeah.
Where like just showing like all different areas. I think that'd be fun to look at.
That would be cool.
Maybe some back matter and like a ultimate edition kind
and
of thing.
A Fairyland compendium. I feel like that would be pretty cool.
Yeah. Super cool. And so she gets to the dude.
Yeah. They finally cross the Red Sea, which is the way that they get to his evil castle that looks sick. It's got a big skull, and then there's a castle on top of the big skull.
And then he's got this like throne of just a bunch of skulls.
Yeah, the dude is called Darketh Dead Death.
Darketh Dead Death. Great name.
Awesome name. Like probably the best evil person name of all time.
His belt buckle, his shoulder pads, his knee pads, and his whole torso are all skulls.
It looks like Spawn cranked up to like 1,000.
Yeah. And then also like kind of,
and he's like
a
huge
fantasy vibe where he's like a knight kind
of
thing.
Yeah. Of course, he's sitting on a skull or on a throne of skulls as well.
This is a great character.
Honestly.
Such
yeah.
a sick design.
Very, very good. It's just like, it's very over the top, but it's like
yeah.
supposed to be.
The proportions are ridiculous.
It works so well. So Gertrude asks if she can borrow some of his power to beat up Happy, and Darketh agrees with the caveat that Gertrude has to prove herself by fighting through his dungeon. So he basically sends her deep down to be met by like this very horrifying monster. But there's a couple really good moments in just like those pages when she gets, because like the floor collapses underneath her and then she like falls into the dungeon. She gets like Star Wars'd. Isn't that what happens?
What, in like...
Like, the floor comes out, and then he's in the dungeon, Luke Skywalker?
Yeah.
Or, which movie was that? Is that Empire?
I think it was, like, the end of Empire.
End of Empire? Maybe beginning of Jedi?
Yeah.
I can't remember. But, yeah, she gets Luke Skywalker'd, but when she's falling, you can see, like, a falling face, where, like, her gums or, like, her like, cheeks are, like, flying backwards because of like how fast she's falling.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, her eyelids are like kind of down because like she's used to shit like this all the time.
Yeah. And can you imagine?
I think so. She's like, whatever, we're doing this shit now.
It's just another Tuesday.
Yeah, whatever. Basically. And then also this monster, it reminds me, on his tongue is like a person, but the whole monster reminds me of that monster in SpongeBob where like the old lady was on the tongue. You remember that? In like the SpongeBob movie?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
That's what this monster reminds me of. Same color and like everything, basically.
Yeah, because it shows you the tongue, and it's just like this little clown guy, but then ends up being connected to this huge thing.
Yep.
Tons of eyes and horns.
Yep. Freaky arms. So that's how this issue ends, but we don't see them fight, unfortunately, because going into the last issue, we open up with a Happy narration, but this time centered around Happy, which is showing her like making her way through Fairyland and finding the key that will open the door to her home. And so she brings it back to the main city where everyone's gathered and they're like super happy that she got it first and everything. But right as she's about to leave, they hear like a big rumbling doom sound. That's what the lettering is, at least. It's doom. And then Claudia yells at the son, who's like narrating everything, telling him to like keep narrating and finish Happy's story. But as he's talking, a dragon shoots up from the ground and shoots its like dark energy fire breath at the sun, causing it to like explode, and it rains blood down on everybody.
Yeah.
Like
if you look closely, Nathan, you can still see Claudia's tits when she's covered in blood.
That's good. That's crucial.
Right.
I wouldn't know who it was
without the titties.
The sun like eats this energy blast and then gets blown up from like the inside.
If you imagine like a shotgun being like put into someone's mouth, this is what I imagine it would look like.
Yeah. Like, it's so good, just the amount of destruction. And then even, like, the mountains, which have faces on them, are like, oh, no.
Yeah, they're like, oh, shit.
That's not good.
I'm really glad that he put, like, faces to, like, as much as he could.
It's really impressive, too, because they're pretty distinct for them being just, like...
Like, the snow caps on, like, the different mountains are, like, their hair. And then, like...
And they all have, like, mustaches, which are just, like, little mountains.
Yeah, like, the different peaks are, like, their noses and stuff. It's adorable.
It's great.
I love it.
So, it turns out Gertrude is the one responsible for this dragon.
She's got glowing green eyes.
Yep. She's got this dark power now. She's riding the dragon. She's so clearly she's made her way through the dungeon and everything. But Happy is kind of tired of Gertrude and wants to teach her a lesson. And then Claudia says that, you know, what she's done, or what Gertrude has done, is against all the rules, and asks how she got the powers. But Gertrude explains that she had to prove herself in Darketh Dead Death's dungeon. That's a tongue twister.
Darketh Dead Death?
Darketh Dead Death Dungeon.
Darketh Dead Death. I'm not even going to try.
Darketh Dead Death Dungeon.
Darketh Dead Death's Dungeon.
Yeah. Gertrude made it through Darketh Dead Death Dungeon.
What did they call those people that he is? Like one of the seven what?
Seven evil dooms.
Yeah.
So apparently there's like seven more of these guys.
Ah, plenty of
probably
room.
Comes into play later, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Otherwise it wouldn't be seven. So yeah, when Gertrude made it through the dungeon, it made Darketh very proud of her, almost like a daughter. And so he bestows the dark power onto her. And so now Gertrude and Happy are fighting. Happy shoots like a rainbow blast with unicorns and stuff at her, but Gertrude just swallows it up. And then she breaks the ground open, and it swallows Happy up, and then Gertrude gets the key finally.
And then, like, the ground closes back.
Yeah, it, like, reseals itself, I guess.
Very scary.
Yeah, so who knows where Happy is, but that fight was pretty
satisfying.
Yeah. So she gets the key, and she opens the door to her home, and it's like all bright and stuff in her face. But before she's about to walk through, Claudia makes like a snarky remark at her about how she's like happy that she's going to be going, or like sad that she didn't die, essentially.
Yeah.
But without a second thought, Gertrude uses her dark powers and disintegrates Claudia while like Larry is telling her to stop. And it turns out that whoever deals the fatal blow of the king or queen of Fairyland then has to take their place as ruler of Fairyland for forever.
Mm-hmm.
So Gertrude has now accidentally taken the crown.
The door shuts.
Yep, door shuts. She can't leave now. And she's accidentally taken the queen or the crown as queen of Fairyland.
Fluffing Fairyland.
Fluffing Fairyland, yeah. So she was so caught up in her spite that it got her stuck for even longer. Maybe never to go back home.
Potentially forever.
Yeah. Which is a great ending for this first trade.
Fantastic.
Because now I'm like, she's going to fuck everything up in Fairyland.
Potentially.
Potentially. I mean, she hates the place to begin with. So I imagine everybody that's happy in Fairyland is going to be miserable.
Right. Because right? They all hate Gertrude.
Happy's still there. Or potentially could come back, right?
Potentially.
She hasn't like left officially, so she might be
with Darketh.
Yeah, she might be down there with Darketh. There's 7 other evil dooms. I assume there's going to be some sort of like Fairyland war. It's all very like he sets himself up very well in this first trade.
Yeah, so like, but then again, like I thought, just like starting out, like all right, the plot is like they got to get the thing to get out.
Yeah,
and so I'm like, maybe this would be like drawn out for like 20 issues, but no, like first trade that's been wrapped up.
Yeah.
As we know is the only way out, that's been crossed off.
Yeah. And so now, like, the whole dynamic now changes because she's not just, like, hating on Fairyland. She now has to, like, rule it in some way. So what comes with that job, we don't know.
Yeah.
So very, very, very fun.
Great book.
Great book. Definitely read it. Again, it's a gotta have it with a bunch of sprinkles.
Tons of sprinkles.
It's so colorful.
I want ice cream so bad.
Thanks to Jean-François Francois Ballou.
I think you got that.
Francois Ballou, something yeah. like that.
So
hopefully, but he's a great colorist as well. Like everything's very vibrant.
Oh yeah, it's so sick.
I think like every like position in like this book, like from Scotty's writing and art to Jean's coloring to Nate's lettering, they all like add their own distinct identity.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Which isn't, like, the case a lot of time, especially for, like, lettering.
Because
you don't think about lettering that hard most of the time unless it's bad.
But yeah.
In this case, it has, like, enough of its own, like, flavor and style to make it distinct.
Yeah, like, the way that he letters is, like, almost, like, as important as, like, you know, like, John Layman's lettering in Chew.
Exactly.
Like, it's, like, it adds so much to the book and will... almost like identifies with the book.
Yeah.
You know, like we might see something that's kind of like this, be like, oh, it's kind of like some I Hate Fairyland mm-hmm. lettering.
Yeah.
And then the art being like great, but these pages like pop with they the do. Colors. And I think they're just so in sync with like what like kind of tone they're trying to set.
Yeah.
And just worked out so well.
Yeah. Which big credit to that team. I guess he's been coloring Scotty Young stuff for a while, which makes sense to me because every time I see like Scotty's work, it looks exactly like this. So it's good that they're like a pair that consistently works together.
And I'm glad that this style can be prevalent in like in comics, you know, not just like the whole like basically looking like Jim Lee kind of thing.
Apparently he's colored Invincible as well.
Yeah, he might have hopped in. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's like consistent colorists on that. Wait, I'm a bad fan, but yeah, that's cool. I've seen his name before. Maybe that's where I know it.
Yeah. So with that, we'll go to Back Matter Matters.
Back Matter Matters.
And there's not a whole lot of back matter.
It's just like some bios from the creators.
Just the, yeah, creator bios. But what's cool is that the pictures are illustrated by Scotty Young. So he makes them like look super fun and, caricaturized but in his style.
Yeah.
So pretty fun. And it includes the letterer in this as well in the creator bio, which is like not something you see all the time.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Super cool.
But yeah, this is way back when Scotty, I guess, was doing like a Wizard of Oz graphic novel adaptation. was drawing like Rocket Raccoon.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Giant size little Marvel, which I remember. And I guess he did a book called Fortunately the Milk with Neil Gaiman.
Weird.
So I have no idea what that is. But yeah, the colorist does a lot of his stuff, and then Nate Picos is all over the place. He did Huck, which is a Miller World title.
Oh, yeah. Very good. You read that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember that.
It's very fun. So, yeah.
Okay, okay.
That's basically everything for Back Matter Matters. So, with that, we'll go into the pull list, : shove it in your box.
The pull list, what did you shove in your box?
So, we got Firepower, number 9. I'm really glad that the next issue comes out, like a week after I like finish, I get caught up.
After you committed to reading it?
Yeah. It's so dumb. You like commit to reading things that you have.
I know.
We got High Republic number 3. I still don't have number 1.
What's... Oh, the Star Wars one?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got Berserker.
Yes, we did.
By Keanu Reeves and Matt Kent and other people.
Yes.
Very exciting.
Did you read it?
No, did you?
I did.
How did you like it?
It's awesome.
Yeah?
Imagine if John Wick and Wolverine fused together.
Ooh.
That's what this book is.
There's so much killing.
And it like is very clearly, the character is very clearly like Keanu Reeves. And I think on purpose.
Does he do like a lot of headshots with his claws?
Well, he doesn't have claws.
Ah.
But that's like the best way to like pitch the book. It's like John Wick, but he's basically strong enough to punch through people's heads.
Oh, cool.
And like crush them. Like, it's very gory.
Mm.
And the first issue is like pretty action heavy, but in a good way.
Okay.
So it's just like, it's a really strong first issue, I would say.
Nice.
And then you get like an idea of like who that actual character is and like what his situation is now. And you're kind of left to wonder like, what is he? Why is he the only one? And how did he get to where he's at right now? Because he's like helping like an army, basically, as like an assassin. It's very good. So yeah, definitely read that.
Okay.
Did you pick up anything else?
No, that was it.
Okay. I basically picked up all number ones, essentially, and then a number 0.
Wow.
But I picked up Berserker.
Okay.
Which is good. There was Noctura from Scott Snyder and Tony Daniel.
Oh yeah, I saw that.
Which is his Image book.
Mm-hmm.
There's Jonah and the Unpossibles, which is Chris Samnee's written and drawn book.
Oh yeah, I saw I see him post about it.
Yeah, it looks really good. I haven't read it yet, but it's like the next thing I'm gonna read for sure.
Is he writing that?
He's writing and drawing it. Yeah.
Neat. I was gonna say nice, but then I said neat instead. Neat.
I also picked up Dead Dogs Bite number 1 from Tyler Boss, who is famous to us because we read his work on 4 Kids Walk Into a Bank.
Oh, that's the second printing of that, isn't it?
No, it came out this week.
Okay, then I guess it sold out because it's already going like second printing because apparently it's really good.
Oh, cool. There was a couple issues when I went around noon yesterday.
It's about like sold out at like the distributor.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, he seemed pretty nervous about the release just from what I looked, just based off what I read.
That seems tweets. Like something he would like put out based off of like the vibes and like 4 Kids.
Yeah, and it's really interesting because I read it just before coming here. And
what's it like?
So he writes and draws it, which is cool. I don't think he's written anything before.
Okay, so it's the artist from 4 Kids.
The artist from 4 Kids, yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Matthew
yeah.
Rosenberg wrote 4 Kids, but Tyler Boss drew
it. That's right.
Yeah, so it's essentially like a missing persons investigation, but there's like a weird Twilight Zone kind of feel to it.
Okay.
And there's like a dude that he's like in like a suit and he's like kind of talking to us. But the way that he's colored is so distinctly different from like the rest of the environment, and so you're just kind of wondering like what's going on here. It's a very interesting first issue, and it's just about this girl trying to figure out like this missing persons case, and she's doing her own investigation.
And there's just a bunch of dogs in it?
I don't know why it's called Dead Dogs Bite yet.
Oh, there's no dogs in the first issue.
Did not see a single dog.
I'd be vastly disappointed. I thought it was going to be dogs solving crimes.
There's no dogs. There's no biting. There may be someone dead, but we don't know that yet. So I didn't see any dead people either.
Weird.
So I'm excited to see why it's called that. I'm sure it's for a reason.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Just like the overall feel of it feels like trippy in some way. So I like it.
Okay.
And then I also, what was that, four things? I also picked up DC's Infinite Frontier number 0.
Yeah.
Just because I've heard things about it, and it seems like it'll be a big book.
Is that going to be a series?
No idea.
Okay.
So I'll read it. I don't really know much about it, but it's one of the ensemble books, and I saw that there's like part of it was like a Green Lantern story.
You're definitely more ambitious when it comes to like picking up stuff.
Yeah.
I see stuff. I'm like, I don't know what that is. I don't know those people. Well, I'm not going to buy it.
All four of them, of the number ones that I picked up, I was very much anticipating.
Yeah.
Like Berserker, Keanu Reeves, he's a sexy, great man. My favorite.
Right.
Chris Samnee, he's a sexy, great man. He's my favorite.
Yeah.
Tyler Boss, he's awesome. Probably sexy. I haven't seen him, but I have a commission from him, and he drew Iron Fist for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Which is sick.
I always forget about that. That's so cool.
And then I picked up Noctura just because it sounds interesting. I read that one as well.
What's it about?
It's like an apocalypse type book, but the thing that brings people to the apocalypse is that the sun just goes out randomly.
Oh, I remember the...
Yeah, so basically like one day randomly in the middle of the day, the big PM happens.
Okay.
And so the sun just goes away over the course of like 10 hours or something. And now if you're in the dark for too long, you turn into a monster.
All right.
And so so people have built these like civilizations where there's just like a shit ton of light and stuff.
How do they get the light?
From
like fossil fuels or something?
From just like normal energy, I don't know.
Okay.
Well, like they're very small towns that I guess were like, it doesn't take a whole lot to actually like light them up. Like a lot of big cities had their like power grids fuck up because they were trying to use so much energy, but there weren't people like helping to produce the energy.
So most of the big like cities, most big cities are that turn into monsters.
Correct.
And stuff?
Yeah.
And
like all species turn into monsters. So animals and stuff will do that too.
Mm.
And people will. And so like, I guess the, like zombies, like, you know how you start to like get signs that like you're turning into something.
Yeah.
The big sign in this book is, if your gums start to like change colors. So,
okay.
And I think that's creative because you can't like see that on the outside. So someone could probably hide that a little bit easier.
Right.
Which is also cool.
Yeah. Just close your mouth.
Yeah. And I guess like the main character, she has an interesting perspective because Scott Snyder did like the thing where he's like the world is like all dark, but at the beginning, all I knew was the dark because as a kid, I was blind, but then I wasn't blind after a bit. Like this kid like started blind. And so she's like kind of used to being in the dark.
Uh-huh.
And then at some point when she was adopted, she got a surgery, which made her able to see. So there's interesting like writing that he does like around that as well.
Yeah, I've seen that. There's like certain kinds that you can just fix.
Yeah, I guess.
There's like some sort of like lens that's like in your eye that you just have to like take out.
Yeah, and put another one in maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
But I don't like all of Scott Snyder's stuff, but I like everything I've seen from him as far as like
indie stuff.
Yeah.
Creator own.
So we've read Witches, which is great. And
right.
Then I've also read from him Undiscovered Country, which he does with Charles Soule.
Oh, yeah.
And that's also really good. So those are the things I read. I also read some King in Black, and that shit's crazy.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
For sure. That's the what's the dude's name?
Huh?
What's the dude's name?
Noel. Yep. Noel's here now.
Very underwhelming name.
Apparently it means fuck in Swedish.
Nice.
So
I like it more now.
Yeah, it's a lot better now.
Didn't pick up any of those spinoffs that they had for that?
No.
Oh, okay.
Technically Daredevil, yeah. I've been picking that up with the intent to catch up on it. So my plan is to read the rest of the number ones I picked up and then catch up on King in Black, Crossover, and Stillwater, and then Daredevil, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll try and catch up on Stillwater and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, be cool.
Did you watch anything?
Not really. I've started Better Call Saul. It's the
big
new project. It's the new bro show that me and my roommate are watching as we eat things.
Oh, nice.
First episode was really good. I could tell it's going to be like a really good.
Yeah.
Just based off of that.
Yeah, because then like right away it's like old bad guy.
Yeah.
From the other show. I'm like,
I didn't even need that, to be honest.
I forget about the people. And then just kind of seeing like where he started is like cool.
It's funny to see him be like a lawyer that is super broke.
Right.
And he's driving like a shitty car and doing like shitty cases for like $700.
Yeah, he like doesn't have like an office. He's talking like, about how like, oh, it's going through like repairs or whatever, or like remodeling.
But really he's just at the back of like a nail salon.
Yeah.
It's awesome. What'd you watch?
Nothing really. Just because like all that overtime I had to do.
Yeah,
light week for
movie/TV show stuff for me. More comics.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah,
like I don't know why I try and find shows
you have
when comics. I know I have comics that I will enjoy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
That'll probably end up being shows at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that, I guess we'll go into
the Fridays are for the WandaVision.
Yep, WandaVision.
So
penultimate episode.
This is just an episode of reminding me that you were right, that Agnes was a bad guy.
Yeah.
Because she's just like,
she's a very bad guy.
Yeah, very bad. She's just kind of controlling Wanda. And then we just kind of go back into kind of looking at like her life, I guess, like through her eyes.
Yeah.
And how she remembers it.
Yeah. She's trying to find out how she did everything.
Yeah.
So we do at least get confirmation that Wanda did do it. Which for a while there, I was like, did she make this place? But now it's like confirmation that she did.
So
there is right off the bat, we see Agatha in like this in Salem, Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Like her character is part of Salem Witch Trials.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to say about that scene is that Catherine Hahn is like a very weak Scream.
Yeah.
Of the Screams in the Marvel Universe, that one is not my favorite.
Yeah. I was just like, all right, we get it.
I want there to be a compilation of all MCU screams, and I bet that hers will be probably one of the worst. It was just like so half-assed.
We should rank all the screams.
I'll do a supercut of all MCU screams.
Yeah, we'll watch them all.
Because Elizabeth Olsen has some screams, and it's way better.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Which also, she has such a super strong range in this episode.
How so?
Like, just how sad it is, and how pissed she is, and just the different points in her life being reflected in like this episode. She's like a really good actor is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I like how this episode was cool. Cause it adds a lot more to Age of Ultron.
It does.
That's like probably the weakest of the Avengers movies. And so like just having that much more background on them
makes it a little bit cooler.
Yeah. Way cooler.
Yeah. Cause we see what she told everybody, like, what happened in Sokovia where her parents died, but her and Pietro were pinned like in like this house. Mm-hmm. And then the Stark Industries like missile was a dud, but maybe it wasn't a dud and it was her using her X powers. If she did have powers, we don't really know yet.
Yeah.
I think she did, clearly.
Right.
And then she ran into what, the Mind Stone? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Isn't the Soul Stone in that one?
Because
it was blue, and then in that scene, it turned yellow. And so, aren't those two different Infinity Stones?
Yeah, it was, like, the stone that was in, like, Loki's staff, but when you took it out of the thing, it's, like, yellow or something.
Was it that way?
It might be the Soul Stone. You might be right.
Because where did the Mind Stone come from, then?
Or
is it blue, and then in Ultron, they put that Mind Stone in Vision?
I think so. Maybe like gave him like a soul, and so that's why he became alive or something.
Well, yeah, that's why. But I thought that the one in Loki's scepter was the blue one.
Yeah, it is blue in his scepter.
Why does it turn yellow? Is my
That's a very good question. That I don't have the answer to.
It's the space stone. is the blue one, and then the Mind Stone is the yellow one. So anyway, anyway, that's not super clear. She sees like a vision of herself, or at least the Scarlet Witch. We don't really know what that's about yet.
Yeah.
During that scene.
So apparently, like, Westview was like a place already.
Mm-hmm.
It made it seem like that cop is like, there is no Westview at, like, you know, the second episode or whatever.
Yeah.
And like, what the fuck? And so I guess it was a place already. And then Vision bought a property there, like that house. Or no, it's just like a
just a plot of land. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just a lot. And so she gets all mad and makes a house. Really mad.
She's not mad. She's sad.
She's sad and makes a house.
That scene hits pretty heavy because, like, the note on there, it says to grow old together. Or something.
Yeah.
But he's dead, so he can't grow old.
Right. No,
who knows if he could grow old to begin with, but
and then
we know what he meant.
Yeah, he just gets rusty or something. he gets real squeaky.
I love that scene where we see what Vision is like now, on like just all torn apart when Scarlet Witch or when Wanda goes to like see him.
Yeah, so we just saw pictures or like slight clips of that whole scene, like through like that director's eyes or whatever.
Yeah.
And she made it seem like she stole like the body parts.
Yes.
But she didn't. She just looked at it and then left.
Which means that Hayward is sketchy.
He's being a little sketchy because when she's in the house and she makes the house all sad, she blows up and then makes Westview the way it is and then makes Vision just out of nowhere.
It's not a dead body walking around.
Yeah, which is I'm happy about.
Which I'm glad I got closure on that. Yeah.
Because it was something I was wondering.
What I don't understand is when Hayward's, who's he trying to convince when he's showing that edited footage or like that footage? Because all of S.W.O.R.D. was in that room. So was he trying to convince everybody in that room or was he just trying to convince Jimmy Woo or Monica?
Well, they weren't sure if she was the problem or not because like they didn't know if you know someone was controlling her or whatever, or someone trapped her in there.
He very clearly meant to make it seem like she took Vision's body, and that's why that's even more the reason to like get in there right now.
Maybe he's
because
a part of Hydra or something and like and took his body.
It's possible,
but in order to for like make another one.
Yeah, but who's he like trying to convince though? Like, because if
they have their objective. Yeah, I have no idea what his motives are.
Because all of S.W.O.R.D. would have to know, because did you watch the end credits?
Fuck, dude. I keep forgetting
that. That was the biggest part.
What the happened?
Oh my god, Daniel.
Should we just pull it up?
Yes.
Oh my god.
No, I'm going to spoil it for you right now.
Fuck.
So,
What was the last end credits that I missed?
Monica tries to go into the basement of Agatha's house, and then Pietro is there.
Right, but isn't Evan that Peters. Where this episode started, in the basement, and like,
correct,
Wanda's trapped there? Okay.
Yeah, so Monica like opens the doors and then Evan Peters is like, what's up? And then it ends.
Okay, so what was in this one?
So it's huge.
Do they all have end credits?
No, just the last two.
Okay,
which is kind of weird, but anyway, the end credits, it goes outside of the hex, it's Hayward, and he's like, let's launch Project Cataract, and then it pans over and Vision's body is re-put together fully, and he's completely white, and he turns on.
Okay, I saw a pop of that. I'm like, what is that? I don't remember that part.
So now he's like a white Vision, assuming like he's now just like a weapon for S.W.O.R.D.
Ah, fuck, that's cool.
It's very cool.
I almost bought that, but I didn't know what it was.
So now my theory going into next episode is that there's a bunch of shit they gotta cover, which is why I think that they might actually drop two episodes, or it'll just be like a 1 hour long episode.
We'll find out in a few hours.
Yeah, we will. But
they actually posted on Disney Plus like 11 or maybe even 10. Because like I tried to watch
it at midnight one time and it hadn't been posted yet. So
I've watched it on like a Thursday night before.
Interesting. Anyway, my theory is Vision on Vision battle would be cool.
Yeah.
But
little dude on dude action.
Scarlet Witch takes fake Vision, puts him into Vision's new body, and then we get Vision back. But there's still consequence for him dying because he doesn't remember everything before.
Yeah.
So I think there's going to be some way that we get Vision back because of some Vision morphing.
I have no idea what's going to happen. I'm just like here for the ride, you know?
Yeah, true.
I'm happy to
see. You don't have to have a theory. You could just enjoy it.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know.
I'm just trying to piece it together in my head. Like, where is this going? How is it going to end? I don't know what the Evan Peters character is. It can't be a fake out. He's got to be from some different universe.
Okay. So
or at least some sort of confirmation that the X-Men universe is a thing.
Because, like, why even use Evan Peters?
That's what I'm saying.
If it's fake.
The implications of it are way too big for Marvel to just troll us. Because
Agatha,
bit.
Like, made him or whatever and, like, sent him to her to fuck with her. And so, like, I don't know why that would be a part if that's not to introduce the X-Men somehow.
Because she does admit that she tried to use, like, actual Pietro's body, but there's too many holes in it.
Yeah.
So what did she say about his body? She, like, picked another one? I don't know.
Yeah.
I can't remember. But, yeah. So much to wrap up.
Did we miss anything?
Are her parents Magneto? Magneto?
That's, like, definitely not him.
Is that not her real dad?
And I think it's her real dad. Hmm. And we know that Magneto's her real dad.
I think she's still a mutant.
Does Magneto adopt them? Or does he...
I don't know, actually.
Because that might be something.
He might adopt them.
Because why wouldn't...
Who would be the mom?
Why wouldn't...
I don't even know who the mom is. I don't know enough about comics.
It could be fucking anybody. But, like, why would she be Wanda Maximoff, but, like, Magneto have his name be different? It's not, like, Eric Maximoff.
Yeah, it's Eric Magnus, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah, it is. Maybe they are adopted. I think they're still X-Men, though.
Unless they took, like, the mom's name or something. Unless, like, the mom had an affair or something.
I don't know if there's that kind of drama.
Because there's possible that, you know, they could be X-Men. Like, any of the people with superpowers could be X-Men just because they have the mutant gene. You know what I mean?
No, they have to have it from birth to be considered a mutant.
Not the power. Like, their mutant gene has to be, like, activated or whatever.
Correct.
So they're from, like, normally a traumatic event kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that... Like, Stark missile.
Seems pretty traumatic to me.
Seems to be their little ticking point.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure she's a mutant. It doesn't seem to get activated by the Mind Stone, which I think is what they were trying to imply, at least a little bit. And...
Yeah. Well, I thought we need to rewatch Ultron, because I think there's a specific part where she, like...
I rewatched it not that long ago.
She doesn't touch it or anything?
No, they don't. Ever see it really?
Huh. I don't know.
That's like her first interaction with the Mind Stone.
Because I remember, like, in one of the movies, there's like an after credit scene where it's just them,
yeah,
in like a cell, and she's doing creepy hand shit.
It was Winter Soldier, yeah.
The end of Winter Soldier. Not in Ultron, but in this episode, she's exposed to the stone,
correct?
And apparently, it just amps it up or something.
That it probably activates it, or amps it up. Yeah, I think it amps it up, essentially.
It's kind of like...
She has the power, she stops the missile, but when she interacts with the Mind Stone, that's when she thinks she got the power, which is why she thinks that the missile was a dud. But she accidentally uses a hex on the missile, not knowing that she has powers, that she was just believing.
Right.
Hopefully. I don't know. But I think that's technically what happened, but I'm almost positive they've had their powers. They just don't know how to use them.
Okay.
And who knows when Pietro started using his powers. Who really cares, honestly?
Right.
Good stuff. Can't wait for the last episode.
Yeah. So, next week?
Also, when is Monica going to get her powers? It's got to be this episode, right?
Maybe.
Because we don't see her at all.
Yeah.
So much to wrap up. Anyway, next week, Marvel book.
Does it have to be Marvel? We start with DC and then we got it mixed up somehow? Because,
yeah,
like, our first episode was Batman.
We fucked it up.
Okay. So should we do Batman again or just Marvel?
But I mean,
going to
be episode 49. Episode 50 is going to be Watchmen, right? So might as well do a Marvel thing, I guess.
Yeah. So is this 48?
This is 48.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
Marvel.
We need to read Watchmen.
Do you want to do Vision or not really?
No, that's too many. I would want to read the whole thing.
Okay.
You know?
I can click this. It's on the list.
So, these are just some of the things or whatever, but we can do another... We haven't done another Daredevil, have we?
No, but the next show that's coming out, Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Uh-huh.
We could do Captain America Winter Soldier, like the Ed Brubaker run.
I think that goes longer than you might think.
It's 7 issues.
Is it?
I looked at it. You want to do that?
Yeah. Is that the Ed Brubaker one?
Yep, Ed Brubaker, Steve Epting.
Oh, he's good too.
He is very good. So that might be cool.
Yeah.
Kind of an origin thing. More Captain America, but I don't know. Is there any definitive like Winter Soldier runs that
he's
you know?
He's had a run.
I don't know if he's had a run, but are they good?
I think one of the Winter Soldier ones was... Or should we do the Captain America one where Falcon is Captain America?
That'd be pretty cool, too.
That probably makes more sense.
Okay.
Let's look that up real quick. Sam Wilson, Captain America or something?
Oh, it might be.
Captain America, colon, Sam Wilson.
Nick Spencer, Daniel Acuna. I don't know, man. This got 4 stars. It might suck.
It might.
You know 4 stars on like Comixology is not a good sign. Okay, so if we do this, could we do the Winter Soldier one like next Marvel week?
Sure.
Cool.
So Captain America colon Sam Wilson, volume 1 next week.
Indeed.
Be there, be square.
Yeah. All right, sounds good.
And that's the show for this week.
That is the show. How can you email us, Nathan?
You can email us by going onto your web browser, going to your preferred email website or application on your phone.
Compose new mail.
Compose new mail. and then send it to tradewaiterspod@gmail.com.
Subject, you should read this.
Yeah, read this if you want, or if you have a question, or...
If you hate us.
If you watch something cool or read something cool on your poll list.
Oh, please tell us what to read.
Yes. You could also tweet us at tradewaiterspod.com. You could do that by opening the Twitter app or going to twitter.com. And
we have a website?
What?
You said tradewaiterspod.com.
Sorry, at tradewaiterspod is our Twitter.
Yeah.
And you can tweet at us by going to the Twitter app or twitter.com and typing in, composing a new tweets. And typing at Trade Waiters Pod, and then type whatever you want.
Yeah.
And then send it, and I'll probably get it.
Send it.
Or I'm also at more like Nate Thick on Twitter.
Real Daniel Alejandro on Instagram, dot Daniel Alejandro on TikTok.
And thank you, Nathan Moss, for our music.
Just the main theme. I did the rest.
I don't think that's accurate, but
I sent you the files. It'll be
there's no proof of that. I deleted it.
It's from Daniel. I have the email still.
No, you don't. I deleted it from your email.
Oh, no.
Wow.
I sent the files on my computer.
Thanks, everybody. We'll resolve this off there. I'll see you next week.